Last week we began a series of messages from Psalm 51 titled Untangling Ourselves from Sin, where we're talking about giving up the forbidden fruit of our sinful desires. We looked at the main lesson, which is this: untangling ourselves from sin requires confession. We looked at that in verses 1 through 6. And today we see that it requires cleansing. We're going to look at that in verses 7 through 12. And then consecration. I'm not sure if that's going to be next Sunday or after Easter, because next Sunday I think I'm going to be a little bit more specific to Palm Sunday. And so we'll come back to that probably after Easter. With that in mind, let's just review shortly what we learned last week in point number one when it comes to King David's confession. When we have confession, we acknowledge some things about ourselves. First of all, we acknowledge this about the Lord, that we can trust the Lord with our sin, that He will forgive us because He is merciful and because of His steadfast love. We also acknowledge the fact that our transgressions are our transgressions. Somebody else didn't cause us to sin. Our environment didn't cause us to sin. We cause us to sin. And until we can come clean with that point, then I don't know what the point of confession is. Third thing we acknowledge is that we acknowledge that when we come to that point, there is a tenderness in our heart. God's at work. The Holy Spirit is at work, convicting us of that sin. And the fourth thing we saw was that we acknowledge our true nature as sinners, that is what we are. We sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because that is exactly what we are. We get in tune with that true nature. And then the fifth thing we saw, that we acknowledge that when we are in the midst of that terrible sin and being entangled in it, we become numb and dumb. There's a thoughtlessness about anything that has to do with holiness, righteousness, or godliness when we're trapped, entangled in sin. Just look at King David for that example. So, look at ourselves for that example, if you will. So that's what we looked at last Sunday. Now let's move forward with a little story. There was a little boy who got sprayed by a skunk. Anybody ever get sprayed by a skunk? Let me just say I love you, but if you get sprayed by a skunk, don't come to my house. His parents nearly scrubbed his hide off trying to get the smell off of him, but it just didn't work. They couldn't get the smell off of him. He just stunk. So for a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, he had to sleep in the barn, and he got his meals outside. All the while, he could see his family inside the house, eating at the table together, having fun, laughing, and talking. And when it got dark, he could see his dad get with the other brothers and sisters and read them a bedtime story, read them the Bible at night. And then the last thing he could remember seeing at night was his mom tucking his brothers and sisters in bed and praying with him. You see, he was on the outside looking in. And that's a good picture of what unconfessed sin does to believers. It keeps us on the outside looking into the circle of God's blessing. His blessing comes with obedience. We know that, right, church family? But when we entangle ourselves in sin, it keeps us on the outside looking in. And I'm so thankful that the good news is that God doesn't want us to remain on the outside, because He is merciful, because His loving kindness is steadfast for His children. He wants us to enter back in to the circle of His blessing, where we all should want to be. And here's the thing. He doesn't want us just to enter in and then sin and go out, and enter back in and then sin and go out. What He wants is for us to remain within the circle of blessing. That's what God wants for us. But isn't that the problem for all of us? Isn't it? The old hymn, Lord, I'm prone to wander. You know that lyric? Prone to leave the God I love. And then another part of the lyric is, let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. We're all prone to leave the circle of God's blessing for the poverty of our sinfulness. And so that's what we learn today. We learn that we're prone to leave the circle of God's blessing and entangle ourselves once again in sin unless we deal with a deeper problem within our own selves. And that is the problem of an unclean heart. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed like you have, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I confess my sins. These are my sins. I confess them. All to just step right back in it once again. And maybe that's because I use 1 John 1:9 not as a true confession, but as a religious ritual. Right? It's just a cadence, I say. And I miss the whole point of it. I get the letter right, but I get the spirit wrong. And that's because my spirit is tainted with sin. And so what King David reminds us of is that if we truly want to be untangled from sin, it's going to take a power far greater than our own to do that. And that's why he turns to the Lord to deal with the underlying problems. You know, remember the tip of the iceberg is the confession. It's getting rid of it. But then underneath the line of the water, the massive part of the iceberg is still there. And that is the uncleansed heart is there. And until we deal with an uncleansed heart, or until we ask God to do that, we're just going to, like a rotating door, over and over again. We're going to step in it, we're going to step out of it, we're going to step in it, we're going to step out of it. And I don't know about you, but some of the most miserable people I know are Christians that live their lives just like that. And that's not where God wants us to be, I truly believe, based upon Psalm 51. God wants us not outside looking in, but inside the circle of blessing. And the way we do that is we ask the Lord, Lord, deal with my heart and my mind. Cleanse me from the effects of sinfulness. So that's what we're going to look at. Point number two today is this: King David's cleansing in verses 7 through 12. So King David's confession, I believe, was a heartfelt confession. He wasn't merely checking off the religious ritual box to get back into the good graces of God. And so as we learn here in these verses 7 through 12 before us today, what David is wanting is a cleansed heart from the ravaging effects of his sinfulness. He wanted to be cleansed because sin does a number on the sinner. It defiles us. It creates spiritual deafness. It disgraces us. It damages us. It brings depression, which will bring upon us doom. To live a life that is just not the life God wants us to live. And that is because sin affects us. Just as King David did, we need to do the same. We need to confess our sins to the Lord. We need to practice that immediately when we sin, as the Holy Spirit brings that to our attention. Which brings me to this question. Are any of us harboring sin in our hearts today? Are any of us harboring unconfessed sin? Well, today we need to deal with that. We need to deal with that unconfessed sin by confessing it to God, getting untangled from sin and from its effect. We need to give it up for Lent, in other words. King David, as we know, has confessed his sin, and now in these next verses, we see him asking God to do something that he couldn't do for himself, where he's asking God, God, deal with sin's effect on my heart. Because he knows if God would deal with that effect, then his heart would be cleansed and he would be a renewed man. Revival would have come to his heart. Now let me give you this truth. Listen to this very carefully, church family. We cannot sin and it not affect us. We cannot sin and it not affect us. We can't sin and get away with it. We can't sin and get away with it unscathed. Sin leaves a mark on us. It leaves a memory in our minds. It leads a maiming of our souls. That's the way sin works. That's why Paul describes the devil as a crouching creature ready to pounce on us and kill us. And that's because sin doesn't leave us unmarked, unscathed. How many of you men have seen pictures you shouldn't have seen and you've got that memory in your mind? The only way that memory will go away is if God cleanses your mind of that memory. Sin has its effect. Paul talks about how sins affected the unbeliever in Romans chapter 1. This is what he writes. For although they knew God, that not in a saving way, but they knew that God existed, the God of creation existed, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Sin has an effect on unbelievers. It darkens their minds. And as Anthony Holcomb says, as Christians, we face two issues with sin. The guilt it brings and the pollution it creates in the heart and the mind of the believer. I don't doubt that sin affects unbelievers, but I know that sin has the same capability in believers' lives as well. It can affect us so much so that we will die spiritually. Not in an eternal sense, but we will die spiritually one step at a time if we're not careful. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit within you. Do not quench it with a lifestyle of sinfulness. Sin affects not just our wills, it affects our minds, it affects our emotions, and then lastly, it affects our bodies. How many of us have a mark of sin upon our bodies? Well, it didn't start with the body. It started with the pollution of the mind and of the will and of the heart. And that's why we need spiritual cleansing from God so that our relationship with Him will be restored and so that we can be the people of God that God has created us and designed us to be. And that's why it's so important that we study these verses today. I just wonder, is there anyone here in person or online within the hearing of my voice that needs to be cleansed? That you've lived a lifestyle and the marks of sin are upon your heart and your mind. And you're completely at the end of your rope and you can't do anything else but cleave to the mercy and the loving kindness of God. If that is you today, you're in the right place. Amen? You're in the right place. So the first effect that King David asked, the first effect of sin that King David asked the Lord to deal with is this: sin's defilement. Sin's defilement. Look at verse 7 with me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts that you are a God who doesn't leave us in the muck and mire of our sinfulness. That even as believers, we are susceptible to a divided allegiance, a divided heart. And we will walk down the wrong path if we're not careful. And I'm so thankful that even when we do, you are there to draw us back to yourself. You are there to solve our sin-sick problem, which I believe is a step towards revival and renewal. So Lord, help us to drink deeply of your word today. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the treasure of the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. David says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What does a sin-stained soul need? Cleansing. It needs cleansing from defilement. Now, look at these words that King David uses. He says, purge me and wash me. Both strong words. Why purge him? Why wash him? So that he could be clean. That's the whole point here. So that he could be clean. So that he could be whiter than snow. That's why. No longer could King David live in his filthy, ragged, sin-stained garments. He wanted to be rid of those things once and for all. And so the Hebrew tells us that he wanted to be free from sin's defilement. Who did King David look to for cleansing, church family? Oprah Winfrey. What's that other lady in the paper that always giving advice? Dear Abby. Right? That's who he looked to, right? Looked to Dear Abby. He looked to Buddha. Rub the belly, drop the coin there, and Buddha will take care of you. Guys, there's only one place we can go to have the effect of sin's defilement taken away from us, and that is our Creator. And that is who David went to for cleansing, to God. Don't stop at go. Just go straight to the Lord, church family. He is the answer to our cleansing. Dr. Phillips writes, there was no ritual, no religion, and no resolve which could meet his need. Only God could cleanse him from sin's defilement. He was at God's mercy. And God wouldn't turn him away. God wouldn't shame him. Notice that. God's not shaming David for where he's at. David's at a great place. He's at a place where we all need to get to. And that is, Lord, without you, I will continually be defiled in my sin. And so God draws him in with his love, with his grace, with his mercy. And David just simply says, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What is hyssop? That's a great question. In ancient Near Eastern culture, in particular, let's use lepers as an example. What would happen is they would dip the hyssop into some kind of elixir. And then they would take that hyssop and they would sprinkle the person with leprosy in order to do what? Cleanse them from their defilement. And that's the picture here that David is giving to us. Lord, cleanse me as though I am leprous, because I am leprous with sin. Cleanse me. Make me whiter than snow. So David is using this language poetically, figuratively, to the Lord, applying it to his situation. You know, I think about the sin of David. And really what David is saying, the way I see it, is as bad as he wanted Bathsheba, he wanted to be cleansed even more. And that's where we have to get to. We have to want the Lord more than we want the sin. Cleanse me, O Lord, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Isn't it so true? One theologian pointed out, Christians above all people are people with the most fickle heart. One day we want this, the next day we want that. Recognize that about yourself. Because it will keep us on the straight and narrow. It will keep us there. I want to say this, church family, there's really no new beginning for any one of us without first being honest with ourselves about our sin. And there's really no new beginning without turning back to the Lord to cleanse us from the sin's effect of defilement. And this is a great awakening. And it's a wonderful thing for us. Perhaps today there are some here who are defiled by your sin. You're living in a painful aftermath of your sinfulness. And you're finally seeing what God's Word says for the very first time. Or you're just being reminded that it is the Lord who will restore you. And you need to turn to Him for restoration and renewal. He is the God who cleanses us from our sins. Today, is there anyone who desires to be cleansed from sin's effect? Turn to the Lord. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's an open invitation any and every time we sin. But don't let that become a ritual, just a rote saying. Because just praying that verse doesn't make it happen. You might obey the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it. And you see, God doesn't want just to chop the top of the iceberg off. He wants to deal with the massive amount of problems in the heart and mind that lies under the waterline. Because only then will we stop this rotating door and really be cleansed of sin's defilement once and for all. A young Christian man went to his pastor with the most downtrodden demeanor. A look of desperation was on his face. And weeping, he said to his pastor, "Pastor, I've lived a sinful life doing whatever I wanted to do, whenever I wanted to do it, not concerned that it was sinful. And I can do it no longer. I'm undone. And the feeling that I have is that I'm losing my mind. My heart aches. I've turned my back on God, and He'll never want me again, Pastor." And the pastor told this young man a story. He said, one day, while this father and son were out in the country, they were climbing around on some rocks and some cliffs, and the dad said, I heard a voice from above me yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me." I turned around to see my son in midair jumping towards me, telling me to catch him. Split second reaction. I called him, but we both fell to the ground. And for a moment, for an instant, I could hardly talk, the dad said. And then when I found my voice again, I asked him, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And this is what his son said in the most remarkably calm voice. "Sure, Dad, because you're my father." Isn't that the way we do a lot of times? We jump and then yell, "Oh, Lord, catch me." And the great news is, He will. He will. "Cleanse me, O Lord. Purge me, and I shall be clean, and I shall be whiter than snow." The Father will never turn His children away. Even when we jump before we yell. The effect of sin is real, church family. It will defile us. But we have a Father who can clean us whiter than snow. Number two, the next effect that David asked, the next sinful effect that David asked the Lord to deal with is sin's deafness. Sin's deafness. Look at verse 8 with me. "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice." So here King David compares the hurtful effects of his sin to broken bones. Did you catch that? "Let the bones that you have broken rejoice." Sin has its effects. That's the truth you're going to take home, right? Sin, you can't sin and it not affect you. Sin has its effect. Whether it's a numbing effect to do even more sin, whether it's just that first sip of alcohol, right, for the alcoholic, all it takes for the next sip. Sin has its effects, and oftentimes that effect is very painful. But notice, in this instant, it's not the sin that caused the pain, is it? Who is it that caused the pain here? Look back with me. "Let the bones that you, Lord, have broken rejoice." And you say, why would God hit me while I'm down? Why would God do such a thing? Let me give you the answer. Are you listening? Because He loves you. That's why. God would inflict pain upon us in our sinning so that He can ring our ears to be opened once again to His voice. And notice what David implies here with this. If that happens, if the Lord breaks our bones, what's the end result that God is going for? Look at your Bible. What is it? Joy. Joy. And here's the thing. We may think that in the midst of our sin there is joy, but it does not compare to the joy that we can have when we're in the center of God's blessing, doing what God wants us to do. You see, we always trade in our sinfulness a cheap joy for an everlasting joy. And the reason why we do that is because our sin in its defilement makes us deaf to the very healing words of God that we need. Why would God love us with such painfulness? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 quotes the Old Testament. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son, every daughter whom He receives. God calls this pain, this brokenness, because King David was His son, His child. And this God-besotted brokenness was God's mercy, was His mercy. It's God's way of getting His sinning children's attention. And it worked. It worked. Sometimes the only way we can get our kids' attention is by just a swift belt across the butt. And it's effective. It's effective. Right, guys? It was for me anyway when I was a kid. This is how God painfully untangles His children from sin. Just to be honest with you, when you seek God to untangle you from your sin and cleanse you, let me tell you, it will probably be painful. Like the addict trying to get off of drugs is a painful thing. Like the drunk trying to get dry, it's painful. And God is the very God who will inflict lovingly pain upon His children to cleanse us from sin's deafness. And really, that's what we need. We need that whether we understand it or not. So the great thing is God doesn't disappear when it comes to His troubled children. He appears in force. And I'm thankful for that. And so David just says here, listen, I've grown spiritually deaf to You, Lord. I've grown spiritually deaf. He couldn't hear the joy and the gladness of His salvation anymore because he was in such a dark place. The light was slowly beginning to penetrate that darkness. And God would restore his spiritual deafness. And there would return to him a joy and a gladness that only God could do as a result of punishment for his sin, of discipline for his sin. His broken bones will rejoice one day once again. His deafness will give way to hearing joy and gladness. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. We don't have to stay in that darkness. God will pull us from it if we confess our sins. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever heard about the cell phone ring that junior high schoolers and high schoolers use? I don't know if they're still using it. This may be a dated story, but in junior high and high school, kids weren't supposed to use their cell phones in class to text each other, but these kids found a way around it. They discovered that that they could use a certain ringtone, which had a certain pitch that the teachers couldn't hear, but the students could. Literally, it's given a name. It's called the mosquito tone. The mosquito tone. Have y'all ever heard of that? I hadn't heard of it until I found this story. So the mosquito tone is such a high pitch that people over 25 years old couldn't hear the tone, but the students could. And that way they could still sneak texting while in class. This tone was developed in Great Britain to irritate teenagers. You know, none of you have ever been to Haynes Mall and been there and the teenagers hanging around there just make everything not very fun. No, none of us have been there for that. But what this tone was to be set so that it would irritate these teenagers so that they would move on and not congregate in front of the stores and cause problems. Well, these teenagers, like the sinners that they were, learned how to use this technology for their own advantage. And they did. They did that. They say, what's the point, Pastor? Well, this is the point. Just as our ability to detect the sounds of high frequency deteriorates as we get older, our sensitivity to hear spiritual frequency also fades as we live in unconfessed sin. Church family, if you are at the point, if we're at the point in our spiritual lives where God's word just seems totally insignificant to us, where it's the last thing we want to turn to and look at, where it's the last thing we want to hear, then I dare say that that is the effect of sin. And it has made us deaf to God's word. And we need to come clean. And the way we come clean is we say, Lord, cleanse me. Open my stopped up ears so that I can have the joy of my salvation. Spiritually, cleanliness. Are you there, church family? Is anyone there? Let me close with this story this morning. Obviously, I didn't get through every one of sin's defilement, and evidently we need to come back to it, but what we've seen so far is King David's confession. And now we're looking at King David's cleansing. And the first two things that he wanted the Lord to deal with in his being cleansed was sin's defilement and sin's deafness. And when God deals with those things in our lives, it is his way of untangling us from the sin that we're in. And let me tell you, church family, you cannot do that by yourself. It requires a supernatural act of God. This is a cleansing from the inside out that only God can do. Are you turning to the Lord for the spiritual cleansing? I hope so. Let me tell you a story as we come to this time in the service of one girl's confession that led to spiritual cleansing at Jersey Village Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. This took place on February the 26th, 1995, again at Jersey Village Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. The congregation began their evening service at 6:30 p.m., as they normally did, expecting that their service would be over in an hour as it normally was. But the Lord came that night to do some spiritual cleansing. And he began with a young girl who, after the service, walked the aisle, came forward, and confessed her sins to the Lord, and then sought encouragement from her church family. This is a true story, by the way. After her response to God, other members started walking the aisle and started confessing their sins one to another. Started at 6. The service started at 6. Now it's 9 p.m. Some of the members that were in the sanctuary went to relieve a couple who was working in the nursery that night. That couple came to the sanctuary, saw what was happening, and went directly to the altar and began praying with one another. You see, their son had ran away from home about 4 months earlier because he wanted the freedom to live his life the way he wanted to live his life without giving answer to anyone. And so while the church was praying for him, he was at Mardi Gras in Galveston, Texas. But all of a sudden, the hand of God reached down from heaven and touched his soul. And it made him leave Mardi Gras, drive an hour and a half home to see what was going on with his mother and father. As he drove home, he knew it was church that night, but it was late. He didn't think his mother and father would be at church any longer. Church would have been over by 7. He rode home. The house was dark. No one was home. So he figured, well, maybe they're still at church. So he drove to church, and now it was 11 p.m. He walked in. A deacon recognized him. He said, "Your mother and father at the altar prayed." He immediately walks down the altar to the altar, kneels next to his parents in front of the auditorium. He embraces them, and he tells them his desire to come home and to get right with the Lord. Spiritual cleansing, church family. And I just believe Liberty Baptist Church is not above the point where we don't need spiritual cleansing. And who will it start with? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the spiritual cleansing that you can give to us. I thank you, Lord, because there's not a single believer that, although we are covered in the righteousness of Christ, which we are, that being said, we still can wander away from you into a lifestyle of sin. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you are there waiting for us to come home. And Lord, I pray today that if there is a member of Liberty Baptist Church, that if there is someone here today who's visiting us, that if there's someone online that's hearing my voice, that Lord, wherever they have roamed away from you, that today is the day that they'll come home. That they will be cleansed and be made whiter than snow. That they will want you to do the painful work of cleansing them in their lives. Lord God, have your way at this time here at this church. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.